Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, good morning, Compass. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Good. Okay, let me ask you a question since you told me you're good. How many of you have ever been really stressed? Anybody been just like super stressed, like stressed to the point where you are just like overwhelmed, like your just life is, like I love this, like people's hands are up, they're like, no, I want you to see my hands, Chris. Like this is important that you know how stressed my life is. There's gonna be like, Jared's gonna have his hand up the whole service, like I'm just gonna keep it up, just keeping it up. But like the anxiety, worry, stress, pressure, like have you ever, man, I don't know if you've ever, I've had this before, have you ever felt like there's just like bands around your chest just squeezing and you're just like, okay, deep breaths, that type of stress, pressure, worry, anxiety, even as I'm talking about it, you're like, Chris, I wish you'd stop, I mean, you're just reminding me, okay, my heart's starting to flutter. We've all kind of felt that level of stress and pressure and anxiety where it feels like, man, there's just so much happening in my life and I just can't get ahead. You know, it's work. Things are difficult at work and I my job feels insecure and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And you know, my relationship with my kids is so challenging and it's like I tried to raise them right and it just feels like everything's falling apart and they're slipping out of my hands. You know, everything's just piling up and piling up and piling up and I just am so overwhelmed. Here's the interesting thing about that feeling overwhelmed. Nobody gets overwhelmed when everything's going great, right? Nobody's like, dude, I love my job. I love my life. My kids are just awesome. I have more money than I could ever spend. Man, I am so stressed. Like no one ever said that. Worry, stress, pressure, all those things come. They seem to kind of grow in the garden of difficult circumstances. That really seems to be the context and the source of when stress and pressure happens. You ever like, anybody ever like try to open up a pickle jar and like you twist it and it just pops like first try? Isn't that the best feeling in the world? It's just the easiest pop and you're like, oh, sweet pickles. Anybody ever have that? Nobody is ever stressed when they pop a pickle jar for the first time. It's just like, nobody ever threw a pickle jar across the room and shattered it into the wall into 1,000 pieces because it opened too easily, right? That only happens when you're 3 minutes deep into it and your hand is cramping up and all you want is a pickle and you know you're never going to have another pickle for the rest of your life, right? No one ever gives you a wave when you're driving your car with one finger when traffic is perfectly smooth and you know everyone's going the speed limit and the lanes are clear. In those situations, people wave with all five fingers. You know, they're like, "Hi, it's good to see you." It's only when like traffic is backed up, people are cutting each other off, everything's going slow, and you stop. That's when like I don't know if it's just there's so much going on that people are so focused on driving that they don't have the concentration to wave with the other four fingers on their hand. They can only wave with the one. But it's like it's that those difficult, stressful situations that seem to magnify the stress and the worry and the anxiety that happens in our lives. Romans 8:28 says this. This is a passage out of the Bible the Apostle Paul wrote. And he says this. He says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Now, this is a verse that has been a comfort to a lot of people. You maybe have heard this verse. People have told this to you when you're going through a difficult circumstance. Maybe you've gone through something very heavy and challenging and difficult in your life where you've been overwhelmed and someone's like, hey, just I want you to remember this, that God works for the good. He works out good in every situation for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And maybe that verse has brought you comfort, but if you're like me, I've been in situations and circumstances in my life where someone has said that verse, and I'll just be totally honest that it's kind of hard to believe sometimes. It can be difficult to believe that God works everything out for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes when I look at my life and I still see so much bad. It can be challenging to believe that God works everything out for my good when I look at my circumstances and I'm still overwhelmed by what's happening in my life. And man, even beyond that, I look at the world. I don't just see bad stuff in my life. I see bad stuff in the world at large, and there's so much bad. It can be difficult to believe that God can work everything out for the good of those who love him and are called to his purposes when I'm stressed, when I've got anxiety, when I'm overwhelmed with what's happening in my life. And so today, I mean, the question I really think that I want to start asking over the next 4 weeks in this brand new message series called Overwhelmed is this: is how can we overcome worry and stress and anxiety in our lives when we are so overwhelmed by the bad stuff that is happening in our lives? How do we overcome those things? How can we be free of the anxiety and the stress and the worry when we feel overwhelmed? And so today what I want to do is I want to just kick off today talking to you about a story from the life of Jesus. And before we even just jump right into that, you know, let me just lay the groundwork just so you know this, that God cares about your life and that it is not God's plan that you live in a state of anxiety. It's not God's plan that anxiety and worry and stress are things that you carry with you at all times. That's not God's plan for his people, particularly when he says that he wants to work everything out for the good of those who love him. And so over the next 4 weeks, we really want to just examine, what does it look like in our lives to overcome these things? What is God's perspective on these things in our life? And how can we live a life free of the weight and the burden of feeling tangled up and tied up and crushed under the weight of the things that are holding us down and the circumstances in our lives that are weighing us down? So today we're going to look at a story from the life of Jesus, and it's a little bit of a familiar story, but I need your help with this, okay? We're going to talk about the story of Lazarus, but what I need you to do is this, okay? You're probably here, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you've been a Christian for a while, and you know the story of Lazarus. I need you to do me a favor, okay? I need you to listen to this and approach this as if you have no idea what the outcome of this story is, okay? If you don't know the story of Lazarus, awesome, okay, you're in for a treat. If you do know the story of Lazarus and you do know how the story ends, I wish you'll do this with me. I wish you will just forget how the story ends, because it's important for us to know that the people who lived this story out, they didn't know how it ended, okay? The people we're gonna be talking about, the story we're gonna be telling, they had no idea how this story was gonna end. And I think it's important for us in thinking about dealing with anxiety and stress and feeling overwhelmed, that we recognize that people in some of these Bible stories, the people who interacted with Jesus and lived life around him and were part of these stories, they knew exactly what that felt like because they didn't know how these awesome, incredible Bible stories ended. So do me a favor, just forget how it ends, and let's take a look at this. So in John chapter 11, this is going to be a long story. I'm going to run you through it, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. And it starts this way. There was a man named Lazarus who was sick. He lived in a town named Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, this is the Mary who later poured expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." Now, Mary and Martha, they pop up all over the Gospels. They were close friends of Jesus. And so this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you can even see in like their message to Jesus that they were dear, close friends with Jesus, okay? They were followers of Jesus, but they weren't just kind of like people who sat in the back row at Jesus' messages. I mean, they were his friends. They were his close friends. And we can see that from other instances of Jesus interacting with them in the Gospels. These were people who knew Jesus intimately. They knew him well, and Jesus loved and cared for these people. There's a close relationship here. And so Lazarus is sick, and for Mary and Martha to send a message to Jesus, he has to be really sick. Jesus, I mean, he's days away. And they send a message to try and get a hold of Jesus because they know this. Being close to Jesus, they know Jesus has healed people. And I guarantee you what they're thinking is this: we got to get a message to Jesus because Lazarus is very sick and we need Jesus to come and we needed him to do the miracle for us, those of us who are close to him, those of us who know him, who are his dear friends. The same miracle we need him to do for us is the miracle that he does for people he just encounters on the street that he has no idea who they are. So we got to send someone to Jesus so that Lazarus can be healed. But when Jesus heard about it, Jesus, the messenger comes to Jesus. He says this to his disciples. He says, Lazarus' sickness won't end in death. He says, no, this happened for the glory of God, so the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, although he was their close friend, although he cared about them, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone you are super close to, maybe someone in your family, maybe your closest friend is a doctor, and your child is sick, and you're like, we got to get Jeff over here, Dr. Jeff. His name's Dr. Jeff. He goes by his first name because he's cool like that. We got to get Dr. Jeff over. So they call him, like, Dr. Jeff, you've got to come over. Our kid's sick. We need you to take a look at him. And he's like, you know what? I tell you what, I don't really know what's happening, but I guarantee you this is going to work for God's glory, so I'll just come over when I can. And then he hangs up the phone and he doesn't show up. He doesn't even leave where he's at for 2 days. Like, does that feel like someone who's a close friend? Does that feel like someone who cares about you? But that's what Jesus did. Jesus kind of left Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He left them hanging. And I imagine the disciples, when they hear that Lazarus is sick, the disciples know how close Jesus is to this family. The disciples had to be going, what is going on? Jesus, what are you doing? This is Lazarus. Okay, he's sick. Did you not get the message? And Jesus says, it's okay, I got this. And Jesus waits 2 days before leaving to head back. Then we see this happens in verse 17, that after Jesus left, that it was like a two-day journey to get from where he was to Bethany. Then when Jesus arrived in Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. So Jesus racks up 2 days on the calendar, just lets 2 days fly. Then he has 2-3 days of travel. And then when he gets there, he discovers that Lazarus is already dead. Check out what Mary and Martha do. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. So they hear Jesus is there. Martha, she's like, okay, I've got to go out. She goes out to see Jesus. Mary, she's not going out at all. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So in these two women, we can kind of see, I think what we see is a couple reactions that all of us have when we face difficult situations and circumstances in our life. And even before we get there, I mean, think about this. Lazarus has died. And back then, first century Jews, it was very important to them that a person's body was cared for, it was reverently taken care of and placed in the grave. It was a spiritual duty to them. And so when somebody died, their body was washed. They were wrapped up in bandages with spices and flowers in the wrapping around the body. And the body was placed in a grave the same day that a person died. I mean, literally the same day. They didn't wait. It was just something that happened immediately. And then what would happen is over the next week, they would mourn. The family would mourn. And what would happen is people would come over and they'd bring casseroles. And you know how that goes. And they would mourn for 7 days. And over those 7 days, the family would stay in their home, and they wouldn't leave the house at all. Part of the Jewish cultural mourning process was you'd be in the house and you'd never leave. The only time you would leave the house was if you were going to visit the grave of your loved one who had passed away. But apart from that, you hang out in the house, and you just take 7 days, and people come over, and you just mourn the loss of your loved one. And when Jesus shows up, we see Martha and Mary 4 days in to the process of mourning their dead brother. 4 days in, knowing that it's over, he's passed, it's done, there's no hope. And we can see the two reactions that I think a lot of us do in these situations. The first is Martha. And Martha, she kind of sees Jesus, and she says this. She's like, Jesus, okay, I know that you could have come, and I know that you could have healed Lazarus, but you didn't. And so, you know, I wish you had, but I'm just going to choose to still believe in you. That's Martha's response. Some of us have that response when we go through difficult times. We're in those difficult circumstances. It's like, God, I know you could have done it. I know you could have saved me. I know you could have spared me from going through this, but you didn't. But, I mean, I guess I'm still in. And then we see Mary's response. Mary's response is she's not even going to go out to Jesus. Because Mary says this. She's like, I know that you could have come. I know that you could have healed my brother, and you didn't. And because you didn't, I think I'm out. Because you could have saved my brother, because you could have healed him, but you didn't. I think we're done. Martha, she's like, you're a powerful God who could have done a powerful and amazing thing, and you could have moved in your people's lives, but you didn't. And Martha's like, who am I to judge? You know, you're God, so I guess I just got to stay on board. And Mary, she's like, you're a powerful God, and you could have healed your people, you could have rescued your people, but you didn't. And because you didn't, I don't know if I can have anything to do with you anymore, because I don't know if I can follow and serve a God who's not going to help people when he could. I don't know if I'm going to follow a God and if I'm going to stay close to a God who could have done something in people's lives and he didn't. I don't know if I'm down with a God like that. And when things get bad, it's an easy, sometimes natural human reaction for us, you know, to doubt that God loves us, to doubt that God cares. And you may fall in the camp like Martha where it's like, I know, I still believe God's powerful. I still believe that he created everything. I still believe that he is a sovereign God. But, you know, maybe he's just a sovereign God who's not that interested in taking care of me. And then it's easy to slip into Mary's shoes where it's like, okay, I believed in this God who could do the miraculous and do incredible things for us and chose not to. And I don't know if I'm even going to believe in this God at all anymore. Because for both of them, it's too late. When Jesus showed up, it was just too late. Lazarus is dead, and at that point, there's no hope. And they're in their home, and there's all these people coming in, bringing casseroles and asking if they're all right, and they're grieving, and they're sad, and as they're processing all this stuff, they're just thinking, Jesus could have prevented this. You could have stopped this. You could have done something, but you didn't. And they're just crushed under the weight of this. They're overwhelmed by the anxiety and the stress that this is putting on them. And they find themselves, again, in a situation where it's hopeless. Jesus has showed up too late. Story continues. So Martha, she returns to Mary, and she called Mary aside from the mourners, and she told her this. She said, the teacher is here, and he wants to see you. So Jesus told Martha that he wanted to see them both. He asked Martha if she would go get Mary. So Mary, it says that she immediately went to him. Imagine how hard that had to be. She stayed in the house when Jesus showed up. She didn't want to see him. She didn't want to look at him. She was so angry, so let down, so disappointed in him for not coming through for her. But Jesus sent Martha to go get her, and so Mary gets up, she clears her mascara off, and she immediately goes out to Jesus. And this is what happened. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet, and this is what she said. Now get this. She said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is what I imagine Mary doing. Martha goes in. She says, Mary, hey, Jesus is here. And I know you're mad and whatever, but I mean, he wants to see you. We need to be good hosts. We need to be polite. And I just see Mary getting up. She fixes her dress, smooths her hair down. She sets her jaw and she walks out to Jesus. And she sees him as she walks closer to him, and she's getting tense. She's getting more angry as she gets closer and closer to him. And she gets up to him. She looks him in the face. And I don't know if she meant it or if just in her anger she just didn't know what else to do, but she kneels down before him. But she looks up to him, and she says this, Jesus, you could have saved my brother, and you didn't. You could have spared us from this, and you didn't. She says that thing that maybe some of us have felt in those moments where we're overwhelmed. Maybe it's that dirty thought in the back of your mind that you're like kind of scared to say, Jesus, you didn't come through for me. You could have, but you didn't. And Mary, looking right up at Jesus' face, she says those words, you could have come through, you didn't. This is what happens. When Jesus saw her weeping, he saw her frustration, he saw her pain, he saw how overwhelmed she was, and he saw the other people around her. I mean, imagine that, right? You're standing around Mary. Imagine Mary's friends. Like, they see Mary walking out to Jesus, and they're like, oh, Mary, girl, don't say anything stupid. Oh, Mary, please, please, please. Just don't. You know, like family situations can get weird, and sometimes stuff happens, and you're like, oh, don't let Aunt Jenny talk to Uncle Joe because it's going to be bad. And so they're walking out with Mary, and they're going, oh, Mary, please, please, please. And they see Mary get down in front of Jesus, and they're like, okay, okay, she's kneeling before him. Maybe this is cool. And then she just accuses Jesus. You could have saved my brother, but you didn't. And those words had to hit them like an arrow too. And as Mary weeps before Jesus, her friends are gathering around her, and they had to feel her pain. They had to feel what she was suffering and feel what she was going through. And they're weeping, and she's weeping. And everybody is just like a whole wave of mourning. If you've ever lost someone, you know that grief hits you in waves. And one minute you're laughing as you remember their life, and then the next minute you're just crippled over with loss. And a wave of grief just hits Mary and hits the people all around her. And she's crying, and people are crying. And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, this deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Jesus, who 4 days ago had said, you know what? Lazarus is going to be fine. We've got this. The disciples had to be like, well, man, Jesus was wrong. He said Lazarus was going to be fine. And Jesus, in this moment, looking down at Mary, who's hurting and broken, and he knows he could have done something. He could have prevented this from happening. He's troubled. And he looks at his circumstances and that are happening around him, and this deep anger wells up within him, and he says this. He says, where have you put him? Where's the grave? And they told him, they said, Lord, come and see. So the people gather him, and they take Jesus to Lazarus's tomb. They take him to the grave that he was in. And when Jesus gets there, they all gather up around the grave. The grave site where Lazarus has been buried. He's dead. It's hopeless. It's over. And Jesus looks at it, and he hears the people around him weeping and crying. And this is what happened. It says that then Jesus wept. That Jesus, with the mourners, he cried. Jesus mourned. He was grieving the loss of his friend. And the people standing around him, they're standing nearby. Some of the people are like, wow, see how much he loved Lazarus? And then some of the other people standing around him, they're like, this guy healed a blind man that he didn't even know. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Again, right? It's our two responses. It's those two things that we feel. It's like, God, you could have done something, but you know what? I guess that you mourn with us. You could have stopped this from happening, but you know what? You mourn with us. And then the other response, it's like, he could have done something, but he didn't. This didn't have to happen. You could have prevented it. This is what happens. And again, just, I want you to like grasp the emotion of Jesus that's communicated here. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone that's rolled across its entrance. And Jesus, overwhelmed, he's troubled, he's angry in his heart that his friend has died. He's crying, and he's mourning. And he tells the people, he says, roll that stone aside, move it right now, just get it out of the way. And then Jesus steps forward up in front of the tomb, and Jesus is moving, and Martha's like, but Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. It's going to smell. He's been decomposing, Jesus. There is no hope. Don't do this. Don't make us have to suffer this pain again. Don't open this grave. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? I mean, the people can see how upset that Jesus is at the reality of Lazarus's death. But nobody expects or anticipates what he's going to do. How could they possibly expect that Jesus, who they see mourning and grieving, and you know what I imagine when they see Jesus angry and crying, they're like, he knows he could have done something. He knows he could have stopped this. And he knows it's hopeless now. And look how upset he is. And some people are like, oh man, look, he's mourning with us, even though he could have done something. And some people are like, good, you should be upset. You should be weeping and crying because you didn't stop this from happening. And in all of this, nobody expects Jesus to go to the grave and say, take the stone away. At this point, they're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, what is happening? Jesus, don't do this. Don't do this. Nobody expects what Jesus is going to do because it's hardest to take God at his word in a hopeless situation.
Jesus looked at Martha and he said, listen, didn't I tell you if you just believed, if you just trusted me, that you would see God do something incredible? And Martha's like, yeah, okay, I believe that, Jesus, that's great. Can we just please go back to the house? And can you just please let us mourn in peace? Please. Because for Martha and Mary and us, it's hardest to take God at his word when our circumstances are at their most hopeless, when the pressure is so high, when our anxiety is at its peak, when we're so overwhelmed that we can't see through the mess that's around us. But this is what happens. So they rolled the stone aside, and again, everyone's crying even more. They're like, Jesus, don't do this. You're just making it worse on everyone. The stone is rolled aside. The grave is open. They can see Lazarus's body 4 days dead in the grave. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and he said this. He said, Father, thank you for hearing me. He said, you always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of everyone who's standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. And then Jesus looked at the tomb and he shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he shouts those words. And I would imagine if I was there, could you imagine the gasp that had to go through the people standing with Jesus at that moment? Okay, this is going to get a little dark, but just roll with me. Imagine you are at a funeral. And the pastor's up front and he's doing the memorial service, and he's talking, and he prays. And then just in a room full of people, he goes over to the coffin, and he says, Margaret, get up! Could you imagine? Like, you can laugh. It's okay. Like, right? Like, it's that awkward, uncomfortable, like, what the heck is going on? And it's like, that's the moment where I grab Terry's leg, and I'm squeezing her knee off because I'm like, oh, my gosh, don't respond, don't react. What the heck? It's just, and so Jesus yells, Lazarus, come out. And there's silence. And Martha has to just be aghast. She's like, no, 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 no. And Mary has to be outraged. What are you talking about? And the people are just going, oh, this guy is crazy. And there's just silence. And then from the grave, they hear this kind of weird rustling sound. And they look in and there's movement. And they look in and there's Lazarus, who's wrapped up from head to toe in bandages like a mummy, just starts squirming around in the grave, and he starts twisting, and he gets his legs out from under him, he starts hopping around, and people are like, some people are like, I'm out. I ain't down with this. This is weird. But then some people go in, and they're like, what? And they help bring him out, and this is what happens. And Lazarus comes out of the grave, and his hands and feet are bound in grave clothes. His face is still wrapped in a head cloth, and Jesus tells the people, unwrap him and let him go. Lazarus bound head to feet. He's been dead in the grave for 4 days, okay? Like, this is for, like, first century, living in the desert, like in a cave, days, okay? This is not in a nice cooler, staying fresh, days. He was gross. That's why Martha was like, dude, don't open that. He's gross. But Lazarus comes out, and they unwrap him, and he's alive, and he's well, and he's healthy, and he's in perfect condition. And this man who was sick days before to the point of dying, who passed from life into death, was wrapped with incense and bandages and grave clothes, and was buried in the tomb and in darkness for days. Jesus called him out, and he came out, and he is alive. Do you think in that moment that the anxiety, that the stress, that the worry that Martha and Mary had been feeling for days, do you think they were like, Lazarus is still alive, I'm so stressed? It was gone. Because in the same moment that Jesus called Lazarus out and said, set him free from those grave clothes, he said to Mary and Martha, set them free from their anxiety. Set them free from their stress. Set them free from what's overwhelming them in their lives. You see, Jesus came into a situation that was hopeless. And for many people was a situation that they looked at and said, Jesus might have even caused this. But when Jesus entered, he brought freedom. He brought life. And the bandages from the grave,
that bound Lazarus up, that kept him closed tight and held into the grave, were cut off, and he was set free, and Martha and Mary were set free. And can I tell you, this story, what he did in their lives, is the same thing that he wants to do in your life. When you are overwhelmed, when you can't see over your pressures and over your worries, it's the same thing Jesus wants to do in you. And he can do it. He can set you free. And there's three things that we can look at, I think, that are important for us to recognize out of this story for us when we are overwhelmed, that we can see and we can apply into our lives and you just see happening. Three dynamics, really. And those dynamics have to do with God. They have to do with us. And they have to do with the people around us. And that first dynamic that is so important for us to understand is this, is that Jesus cared about what they were going through. Okay? Jesus was not coldly observing what was happening in Mary and Martha's lives as they grieved and as they were in pain and as they suffered. How is Jesus described? Jesus is described as troubled. He's described as having a deep anger welling up within him. And in, this is interesting trivia, the shortest verse in the entire Bible, two words, we see that Jesus wept. You see, Jesus did mourn with Mary and Martha. Jesus felt what they felt. He wasn't just observing it and watching it from a distance. Jesus was walking through it with them. Jesus feels what you feel. He knows what you're going through. He's walking through it with you. He understands the pressure that you feel. He understands how overwhelmed you feel, and he's moved by it. He doesn't not care. Our God loves us. He cares about us. He can feel our pain. He can feel our suffering. So when you are overwhelmed, even in the moment where you're like, Jesus, you could have prevented this, know this, that when you weep, Jesus weeps with you. When you hurt, Jesus hurts with you. When you are troubled, Jesus is troubled with you. He understands what you're going through, and he is moved by it. So that's what we need to know about God, okay? You need to know that in your situation right now. God cares. Your circumstances may tell you he doesn't, but he does. Look at what this says about us and how we can respond in these situations. Mary and Martha, they both went to Jesus when they were overwhelmed. When Jesus showed up, they thought it was too late. It was hopeless. But when Jesus showed up, they stayed engaged. I mean, look at Mary. Mary hid out in her house. She didn't want to go out and see Jesus. She didn't want to look at him in the face. She was too angry. She was too disappointed in him for failing her in her eyes. But when Jesus called her, what did she do? She went to him. She went angry. She told him what was on her heart. And Jesus was fine with that. You don't see Jesus rebuking Mary at all, do you? You don't see Jesus calling Mary out for her anger and for telling Jesus he could have done something but didn't. You don't see that anywhere. Mary stayed engaged with Jesus. Martha stayed engaged with Jesus. They went to him in their anger, in their confusion, in their frustration, in their anxiety. They stayed engaged with Jesus. And whether it's like Martha, where you're just kind of accepting what happened and you're just ready to move past it, or like Mary, whether you're angry and you don't think that you can get through this, they both turned and engaged with Jesus. And when you are overwhelmed, you have to stay engaged with Jesus. You can be mad at him, and you can tell him how angry you are. He can handle it. Why? Because we know this, he loves you. You can be disappointed. You can be let down. You can have your doubts. You can carry all of those things with you as you are overwhelmed. And it is okay, but you have to stay engaged with Jesus. The thing that will prevent the miracle from happening in your life, the thing that will prevent the resurrection from happening in your circumstance is this: you not going out to Jesus when he calls out to you. If Mary had not gone out to Jesus, who knows what would have happened, but she stayed engaged. You've got to stay connected with Jesus when you are overwhelmed. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He knows what you're going through. And we've got to stay engaged with him. And then the third thing, and this is what happens in the lives of other people, it's the good that Jesus did in this situation had a greater impact on the people around Mary and Martha than if he had just prevented Lazarus' death in the first place. Now, this is a tough one, I think, for us to wrestle with. But it's true. Jesus could have showed up, and he could have healed Lazarus, and it would have been another neat little story in the Bible, and people would have said, well, yeah, He healed that blind guy, and now he healed Lazarus. That's great. That's what Jesus does. Good for you. But in Jesus allowing Lazarus to die, in what seemed like such a cold, careless, calculated act, Jesus allowed God to move in a situation that had a much bigger impact in Mary and Martha's lives and in the lives of the people around him than if he had healed Lazarus in the first place. Jesus said it himself. He says, if you believe in me, you will see God's power at work. Jesus said to his disciples, this is happening so that God can receive glory. And people got to see God's glory in Lazarus's resurrection. They got to see God's power at work in Jesus. God was glorified. People believed in Jesus as a result of the miracle that happened in this. The good that God did overwhelmed the impact of the bad that happened in the situation. And yet the good that God did grew out of the bad. The good that God did grew out of the bad, but it was better than if God had even prevented it. See, God has a conclusion to your overwhelming situation. There is an end to it where God is going to bring something that you maybe could never anticipate and maybe never expect. Maybe is not a good that you would ever dream up or imagine, because in our idea, the best thing that could happen may not be the best thing that God thinks could happen. But I guarantee you this, the best thing God thinks could happen is better than anything we could hope for or dream for and imagine. And man, for you, if you're in an overwhelming situation, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling anxious and stressed and you're worried, whether it's money, relationship, you know, your job, your kids, your marriage, you've got spiritual issues in your life that are weighing you down and you just can't seem to crack through them, this is what God wants to make sure that you know, and this is a promise that you can hold on to, and that's this: if it isn't good, God's not done. If your circumstance, your situation isn't good, then God isn't done. Because our God works everything for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. God works everything for the good. Mary and Martha, they thought it was over. They thought it was done. They thought the story of Lazarus was written. And it ended with him dying and being buried in that grave. But with God, if it isn't good, God's not done. They looked at it and they said, Jesus, you showed up too late. Maybe you're in a situation in your life and you're like, why is this even happening to me right now? How did I even get into this? This doesn't even make sense. You could have prevented this, Jesus. Why didn't you stop this from happening in the first place? I shouldn't even be here. You showed up too late. I'll just tell you a quick story. I wasn't even planning on sharing this. I've shared it a couple times, but I think that it's relevant to this. Terry and I have felt this. We have walked this. In between our first and second child, between Cameron and Trinity, we had two miscarriages. The first one happened on Christmas morning, and the second one happened a year later. And can I just be honest? Terry was Martha, and she was like, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense, but I'm just going to hold on to Jesus and trust that God is God. And I was Mary. I was so angry at God. Because in my mind, I'm like, this didn't have to happen. You could have prevented this. You could have stopped this. You could have healed whatever was happening in there. I don't understand. Why did you let this happen? And then why did you let it happen twice? I couldn't understand. I couldn't come to grips with it. It was too much. And I was angry. And I remember being in a worship service on a Sunday morning, and because we were part of church, and people are lifting their hands in worship, and I'm just standing with my arms crossed. And I remember thinking, I was like, you people have no idea what you're raising your hands for. You have no idea what's happening in other people's lives. And you're sitting there worshiping a God who lets this happen. And then in that same service, I don't know if this is kind of funny or not, but in the same service, the worship's happening and a woman comes up. Don't ever do this at Compass. It's kind of weird. But a woman just comes up on the stage and she like gets in the pastor's ear and you see her whispering, oh, so, 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 so. And the worship's still going. And the pastor gets up and he's like, hey, we got a word just a testimony, somebody with a word, somebody wants to share. And this woman gets up on the mic and she's like, I just wanted to share. She's like, I came in and I just had the horrible headache this morning. My head was just killing. She just had such a headache. And during worship, God just healed me. My headache's gone. And everyone's cheering and clapping. And I was like, I was like, you heal this stupid woman's headache? Right? Like, she could have taken ibuprofen and you'll heal this stupid woman's headache. We'll interrupt the church service. But you didn't heal our baby. And I was just like, that was almost the final straw for me. And like Mary, I was like, God, I think I'm out. I don't think I can do this anymore. But I'll tell you what I did. I stayed engaged with God. And I intentionally prayed. And my prayers were angry and they were bitter. And my prayers, guys, I'm just gonna be honest, my prayers might have had some four-letter words in them. I'm just being totally honest. Because I was angry at God. I didn't understand. It didn't make sense to me. And then just one time, I was just at home and I was praying and I was letting God have it another time. And I can't explain it, but just in a moment, it's just, all the anger was just gone. All the rage, the bitterness, the hurt, the mourning, it was just gone. And in a moment, it was like God just took it off my shoulders. That weight, that burden I was so overwhelmed by. It's all I could think about. It's all I could wrestle with. I couldn't put my mind on anything else. I couldn't work. I couldn't go to church. I was probably a terrible husband. I mean, Terry told me later, she's like, I was a little concerned. I was a little scared. I didn't want to say anything and freak you out. But in a moment, God just set me free of it. And I don't have an explanation for why. I can't sit here and say this is why all that happened. And I wouldn't even try to pretend and say that, like, that horrible thing happened so that this could be a thing. But all I know is this, is that in a moment, I realized how much God loved me. And I realized that as much as I hurt, that He hurt with me. And in a moment, all of the staying connected and engaged with God that I had done, even though it was angry, even though it was bitter, even though it was ugly, that God said, you stayed with me. You held on. And God said, I'm gonna prove to you that I'm a God who can be held on to and I'm a God who can be trusted. And He just broke that burden. He set me free. And the reality is that what God did in my life in that moment is a story that I can share with this room. People who are facing similar circumstances, people who are hurting and suffering. And for my life where it felt hopeless, it felt like it's finished. I think I'm done. I think I'm out. Jesus showed up too late. But the thing is that Jesus wasn't done. Jesus wasn't done in Mary and Martha's life. Jesus wasn't done in my life. And Jesus isn't done in your life. And the reason I know that is because I know that God works everything out for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purposes for them. I know this, that if it's not good, God's not done. If it's not good, God isn't finished yet. So here's just a quick takeaway. We're gonna talk about some more things over the next several weeks about God's plan and purpose for dealing with overwhelming situations, maybe some even more practical things that we can do. But here's the big takeaway today is remembering that if it isn't good, that God's not done. And so I want you to do this. If you're in one of these situations, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel stressed, if you feel anxious, I want you to do this. Every day this week, I want you to read Romans 8:28. I want you to read this verse that's on the screen. In fact, don't even just read it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to put this word in your heart. I want you to lock it in there. And it's in there so much that eventually this word is the only thing that's coming out of your heart. I want you to hold on to this promise of God. Memorize it. Hold it close to you. Remember this, that whatever you're facing, God loves you. Remember this, that you need to hold on to Jesus. You need to stay engaged with Him. And remember this, that whatever God's gonna do, it's gonna be good and it's gonna have a bigger impact on your life, on your family, and on the people around you than you could have ever possibly expected. Because God works everything out for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Do you love God? Are you called according to His purpose? You can hold on to this promise if you can hold on to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you that you're speaking this message to us. God, and I know there's people in this room right now who are hurting, who are genuinely struggling and are genuinely overwhelmed with their life circumstances. I know there's people in this room who deal with like a low-grade fever of anxiety all the time. That it's just a constant thing that they struggle with and they deal with all the time. And God, that is not your plan. It's not your purpose for them. God, you want to work out your good in their life. And so I pray, Jesus, that you would move in our church and move in their lives. Everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. If this is you, you're overwhelmed and you need God to move in your life. And today you're ready to say, Jesus, I'm gonna believe, I'm gonna hold on to you, I'm gonna trust you. And I'm going to believe that if it isn't good, that you are not done. But I want to pray for you. If that's you, you're just overwhelmed, you're stressed, you're Mary and Martha, just put your hand up right now. You need God to show up. You need Jesus to move in your life. Jesus, I pray for every hand that's raised today. I pray, Jesus, that even though it feels late to them, that it may feel late to us, that Jesus, you would show up in your perfect timing and that you would bring life where there's death in every one of these situations, God. Jesus, I pray that you would show up for every person who's lifted their hands. God, that you would show up at the tombstone of death that's happening in their circumstances, and that you would say, come out, let there be life. And that, Jesus, that you would tear off the grave clothes that are keeping them bound and let them walk in the life and in the freedom and in the hope that they can have in you, knowing that, Jesus, you are a God who weeps for them, that you are a God who is troubled for them, that you are a God who loves them. Bring us freedom in you. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray all of these things in your awesome and holy name, God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.